We're in a series called The Three in One. It's going to take a long time. Say the Holy Spirit. It's going to take a long time because I want to try and do it well. I'm not going to say right. I'll do it the best I have. Perfect isn't going to happen. If you're looking for me for perfect, you're already in great delusion. It's not going to happen, you know. But this Holy Spirit, it's us in this series, Slow Roll, gaining Jesus' insight and perspective. Right? On the Holy Spirit. Last week, we were strolling with Jesus in chapter 14. And here's some good news. We're going to keep walking with Jesus. Right? We're going to keep walking with Jesus. Let's see this little trip with his disciples, how it turns out in the three in one. We'd learned of this, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's where we get the three in one, you know. And Jesus talked about very important stuff in chapter 14 as well. And I guess I'll go back to the song where it says, you know, shake up earth and sky. And so many times you have a picture of that, you think, okay, yeah, rattle the earth, Lord, and come in the heavenlies. But what if you're the earth? And you need to be shaken up. Right? Where's the revival and the power of God start happening in the world? It's not in a gift of somebody else, it's in you. And so the earth needs to be shaken up a little bit. And so Jesus came down and shook it up. You know, and he taught us some things in 14. He taught us he would send his spirit, which is the spirit of his Father. Say three in one. Right? Which is revolution to them. But like, what? You're equating yourself to Elohim, the great God, the one and only? Like, you're saying, yeah, when you've seen him, you've seen me, you see him. What are you saying, bro? He said, I'm saying what I'm saying. He said, I'm going to send you the Father's Spirit because I'm the container, right? I'm containing the Father's Spirit. Then Jesus said he's going to send his Father's Spirit to his disciples to help them. Jesus said, way before Arnold Schwarzenegger ever thought of it, he said, I'll be back. Right? If you're not in the 80s generation, like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, that's when AI was really scary. Jesus began to speak to his followers about the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. But he talked about so many other things along the way that are actually as important, because so many times, if you don't have roots in who he is, you're just going to be a baby with a power tool. Wrecking the body of Christ, not doing any building. I got a gift. No, you got a gift to wreck things. So chill on that and get grounded in him and know him. And then you'll recognize if that's the Spirit of God or someone just a baby with a power tool. But you know how you know that? You spend time with God. You get to know him so you can recognize him. Jesus could talk about that. I don't want to get ahead of Jesus, you know. Also, to further challenge you in this series, like you need more challenge in this series, like I need more challenge. I'm using two different translations. They're kind of opposed to each other in the body of Christ, you know. I'm an amplified guy. That's me. You know, some people, I only read the message. And I used to go, get some meat, you know. But you realize in the message, sometimes you get the essence and the heart of the passage more than you can from just the letter of the law. So I love merging them together. It's like having strong coffee and a little bit of sugar. Three or four for me, you know. Just saying. I want to slow roll it in this Holy Spirit season. I want to get some perspective on the Holy Spirit from Jesus. I want to re-engage with Jesus. When he wants to re-engage with you, you should re-engage. And I feel like he wants to re-engage with us. Like in ways that maybe we haven't re-engaged with him in a while. Like, let him come to the deep places and challenge and change you like maybe he never has. Maybe this is the year, like, we always want intimacy and authenticity. That means you got to take time to make quality relationship. And this is your year to take quality relationship with Jesus, right? He's going to re-engage us. John 15, 1 through 2, right? This is my right notes, Harold. Hopefully. Thank you, Lord. At least I'm there. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, say in me, every branch in me that does not, what? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. What? You could be connected to him in me, but still be fruitless in your life. You could be connected to God and sing a worship song and read your Bible and have a fruitless life. Well, I go to church. It makes me an A1 Christian every Sunday. No, like Keith Green said, going to McDonald's every day don't make you a hamburger. It's not the same. It's not the same. You can say, Jesus, I'm not, don't mean mug me. I'm just reading Jesus' words. He said, you can think you're connected in me and be fruitless. And if you're fruitless, this is hard. You're going to be taken away. Whew. Mind blown right there, right? You could be connected to him and still be fruitless. Say, that's not good. That's not good. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes. If you want to be productive in Christ, then cutting the dead, unhealthy things off your life is going to happen frequently. He says if you're in him and you're really in him and you really know him and you really want to look like him, you really want to be like him, then you're going to be constantly have things challenge your life to be cut off. And if you're not, no, I'm just walking. I'm the best Christian I could ever possibly be. You should see me. I look in the mirror. I go, Jesus. No, I mean it. Oh, hold on. No. Right? None of us is walking there that I know of, right? And if you are, you need counseling. Continually bear fruit means to let him chisel off stuff in me, out of me, and around me. Right? And he said it's going to be a frequently repeated experience. God's continually committed to prune what? His healthy branches. Man, so that why? Why, Lord? Why are you pruning on me? You know? So that it will bear more fruit. See, it's time for me to be moss fruitful. Just trying to be, you know, just trying to help Pastor Sharon. John 15:1-3. In the Message, no doubt. I'll read it in that vibe. You ready? I am the real vine. And my father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. This is the part I wanted to hit. You are already pruned back by the message. Well, sometimes the message is prickly, isn't it? You walk out going, Pastor, what do you got to say? Why you got to be so mean? He says, you're already pruned back by the message. I can see it on your face. The stuff I've been sharing along this trip, you're going, what did you say? Could you clarify? Oh, you know, Judas, not the one that betrayed him. Said, hey, right? Had questions, right? He says, you're already pruned back by the message that I've spoken. I think that's going to be a great saying. You see something going on in someone's life. God's doing something. You go, oh, you're being pruned, bro. Yeah, pruned, you know, being pruned. Side note, you know, at the moment, sometimes makes you feel like when you're being pruned by God that you're being outed. Yeah. Right? Ever feel like, man, everyone can see me, everyone's looking at me weird, right? God's doing something and they're going like, what's going on with them? Everyone's probably not thinking that. But God's working on you, so you feel a little outed sometimes, right? Anybody? Thank you. Sometimes when God's working on something, it's like having a sore toe, and you stub it on everything. You just feel it everywhere, right? God, you're working on me at home. Oh, at Walmart, you're working. Oh, you're working on me at church. Oh, you're working on me at grandma's house. You're working on me. I keep stubbing that toe. Yeah, because it's sore, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when he's working on you, it makes you feel isolated. I just want to hole up. What are you doing? I'm just going to hide out and let Jesus work on me for a while. No, don't open the curtains. I'm just going to stay here. Right. Say, being pruned back is good. Yes, it's good. It's good. John 15:4-8 in the message. Live in me. Live in me. Live in me. Make your home in me. Like your whole life centered around me. This is Jesus talking. Live in me. Don't just have an experience with me. but completely take your life and put it inside of me. And then let me put my life inside of you, right? Make your home in me just as I do in you. See, he's not lying. The Holy Spirit is in me. It's his plan. Say, I am the church. That's the plan, the Holy Spirit in the church, right? In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Who's the branches? When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic. Whew. Who doesn't want that? Part of the problem with the Holy Spirit series in the past, I've seen Holy Spirit do miraculous things that I never could explain. I've seen real gifts, almost all of them work. I've seen dead, I believe, raised. Richard Cook was flatlined. Ask him about it. God, I've seen God do crazy things, but I've also people do go, God's doing something crazy, and it wasn't God doing something crazy. That's not organic. Don't manufacture the Holy Spirit. Got to set an atmosphere for him. The only atmosphere you need to do is humbled and worshipful. Then he'll do what he does, right? The relationship, intimate and organic, authentic and deeply personal. Jesus said, you want the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I do. Then I need you to get intimate and organic with me. Deeply. Get past where you've been and go deeper. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Why is that? The church, deep and organic and authentic, connecting to him, directly affects other people. Say, I'm the church. It's time for me to connect with him more intimately. When you have intimacy, it always reproduces something. Connect intimately with him and his word. You will say, I need to feel God. I need to find the Holy Spirit. If you're not reading your Bible during the day and you're his follower, his disciple, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know if I ever connect really with God, and you're not reading your Bible, I'm trying to help us grow. Jesus is talking about maturity soon. I'm trying to help you. Be more in God and God in you. You want that to happen? You got to be in his word, right? Yeah. Pursue his word intimately. And then get into worship. Don't skip worship service. Worship's where you express your heart to God unfettered. And then you kind of listen to see if he has something to say to your heart, right? Separated says you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood. Not hardwood, dead wood, right? Anyone who separates from me is dead wood. Jesus isn't being rude. Picture him saying that to you. Anyone who's not doing the things just said is dead wood. Boy, why you gotta be so mean? Right? Deadwood gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you. If you do that, if you soak yourself in search of me and in my word, and you linger in there and you make your home in there, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. How does the Father show who he is? When you. Look at your neighbor. Say, when you. When you. Look at the other side. Go, when you. Okay. When you produce grapes. My Father shows who he is when you produce grapes. When you mature as my disciples. What? His Spirit living in his mature church. That's what makes real productivity. Like, we got to mature. I got to mature. There's areas in my life that I absolutely got to stop saying no, stop making excuses. And it's time to mature. Why? Because he has need of a mature vessel to be used. Something he can put in his container. See, old wineskins and new wine, right? When you mature as my disciples, his Spirit living in you. Anyone think? Honestly, think about it. Anyone think? Yeah. Church, yeah, there we go. the church grew up more. You think that 100% the church needs to grow up more? Say, I am. Surrendering to maturity is hard. Than saying no to things that you didn't want to say yes to. Saying yes to things you want to say no to. It's being quiet when you want to talk. It's talking when you want to be quiet. Sometimes surrender looks almost always the opposite of what you feel like. Surrender so His Spirit can produce in you and around you. Say, mature me, God. I need Your Spirit in me. John 15, 9 through 10 in the Message. See, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, but He's talking to them about maturing. They're both the same thing. If we're not mature, we can't handle the Spirit. We just become flaky. I got a touch from the Holy Spirit. I felt Him in the front row. Great. Feel the Holy Spirit. What's He doing in you to produce fruit? Jesus wants a church that's in unity and balance. Right? It needs to be seen, but we're not supposed to be flashy. Right? John 15, 9 through 10. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. Get more comfortable around me and my ways. Sometimes it takes a while to get comfortable around Jesus. When I came to church for the first time, I went like to a full gospel, Spirit-filled experience. And there was people like, I can't even explain. I probably will. Okay, forgive me, Bishop, if you do listen to these. But when I first came to church, I thought, half these people are crazy. Yeah. I love you, Ken Brooks. I love you. We play ball. I know you. We talk about Jesus. I see Him on you. I get it. And so this is where you meet with God? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you like worship? I had a hard time. Why? The lady in front of me spinning around in circles all the time with like a flag. I keep going, hey, hey, hey. Whew. But I felt the presence of God. So I said, you know, I just closed my eyes during worship. Why? Because everything else is a distraction, right? Sometimes you got to get at home and comfortable around God. So some things are comfortable. Oh, I get why that person does that. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Oh, that's not, the words aren't up there. What is Pastor Jody singing? Oh, get comfortable. The Holy Spirit's singing. It's okay. Sometimes you just got to make yourself at home and get used to that, right? If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately. Say intimately. If you keep my commandments, you remain intimately at home in my love. He's looking for something deeper. That's why he even came. I'm going to make a way for you to actually be with God. No more worship me from afar. I actually want you to touch me and I want to touch you. That's why Jesus came, right? One of the reasons. Intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's command and made myself at home in His love. I'm grateful that Jesus recaps very important stuff. Some of this stuff we've heard 1,000 times, but I want to recap some stuff. I think I got a slide because recap's important. Jesus did it, so I'm just recapping with Jesus. Is there a slide back there? Right on. We learned, I am His branch. I need maturing. I'm His church now. And I need to stay intimately connected to Him. And those are nothing that anyone else can do for you. No pastoral meeting, no ethos counseling, no Ken Brooks. That's stuff that we have to do. You can't make me go to the garage and eat right. No one can. If Kirsten and Dr. Heidi can't do it, no one can. It's got to be a move of God. Lord, move on me. But I'm grateful He's recapping stuff. So let's jump back in to some fresh stuff He talks about. Kind of fresh. John 15, 12 in the Amplified. He's about to do something brand new right here. This is my commandment. See, the three-in-one God can give orders. We're in a culture that we don't like commandments. We don't like orders. We don't want to be told what to do. Tell me what to do, but don't tell me what to do. It's something broken in us. There was an abuse, but we can't be two camps. I never surrender. I always surrender. No, neither. Good. Right? This is my commandment. My commandment. That. Say that I. Make it personal. That you love and unselfishly seek, this is a commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. It's a commandment. I see good for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The best for someone else. You save the best portion for you. Best time for you. Best thing for you. Best thing for me is the husband. So best, because I'm the head of the house, what's best for me is best for the family, is it? Sometimes. Sometimes it's a whole lot of selfishness. It's not the best. He said the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Right? I always seek the best for everybody else. Not at Christmas time, I see that. Like, seriously, like, we got to let this stuff prune us back. And it's not something, these are not my words. I'm not being a heavy. This is Jesus dropping a commandment. He's dropping a, this must happen. That you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. So seriously, how's the church doing with that commandment? So I am, church. How am I doing? Right? And it's not a heavy thing. You don't be like, oh, I just suck eggs again. No, no, no. We're going up to a higher place so we can tear the devil's kingdom down. He wants to use us in spirit. So don't go, well, just working me over. Jesus worked me over today. No, he's pruning you off. Why? To be more fruitful. Be like, oh, good. That's uncomfortable. Thank you for pointing that out today, Lord. I got it. Okay. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Right? Are you doing the best to seek the best for others? Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Right? John 15, 13 through 14 in the AMP. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. Jesus backs it right up right there. But you know what really hits me there? This is the first time he says this. The great three-in-one God says, friends. To that point, the only person that got friend was Abraham himself, the founder of their very faith. He said, no, I'm founding new something in you because you're my friends. Whew. Man, I love to worship God, and he's always master. The moments that I let him say he's friend to me breaks me. Thinking about it, Dr. Paul right here, I got to back out. The times, if you've ever been alone and he says something sweet to you and he says I'm friend, it wrecks you. But you know, you can't be talking to me. You can't. What did you just say to me? Anybody else not receive compliments very well? Yeah, must have been my cereal because I felt God said something super nice. You know. No greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command. Aha, there's God putting conditions on me. Doing what I command. Have a problem with that maybe? Come on, really? Even you know that love requires proof. How many doesn't want love proved to them? Any spouse in the room that doesn't want their wife or their husband to prove love ever to them? Hey, newlyweds, it's true. You do want proof. Right? We want proof. And he's saying, I want proof. I hear you say, and I see you do this. But I want proof that you're going to do exactly what I say. Why? Because then I know you love me. Proves it. I got a slide that I think is very intuitive. There you go. Love requires proof. Very good. Very good. John 15, 15 through 17 in the Amplified. Jesus is still strolling with them. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and they're walking along, and they're talking. You know, this is in my head, this is how it looks. Maybe they sat down under a hazelnut tree. I don't know. Maybe they stopped by Black Rock. I don't know. Maybe. So I find them there sometimes. I do not call you servants any longer, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you my friends, because I have revealed to you everything that I have ever heard from my Father. How many have a good friend that you tell everything? How does that make you feel when you can just, when you're like you got, you're so bottled up? And how do you feel like when you know something that's really good and no one else knows? Why? Because your friend told you first. You can't wait. Like, I love to watch Christmas presents that I know what's coming. Oh, they're going to love this. I didn't get it for them when I go, but I can't wait. What'd you see? What'd you see? What Panda bought you? You're going to like it. You know, like that's, ooh, it's going to happen, you know. Told them everything. I said, because I want to be intimate with you. I don't want there anything that you don't know between us. I want this to be laid out raw relationship that you know God personally, right? I've called you my friends because I've revealed everything to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So we think sometimes that, well, I found God. No, he's been hunting you your whole life. You've surrendered. But you didn't find him. He's chose you. And I have appointed and placed, I have appointed and placed and purposely planted you. Where you're at right now, uncomfortable? Sometimes. I've appointed and placed and planted you. Purposely. I don't remember, teachers, what it is when you do all P's in a row, but I like it. I was going to say alliteration. I should have gone with my first clue. Right. Planted you so that you would go and bear fruit. Time to mature. And keep on bearing. Time to bear his fruit again. Maybe at some point in time in your life, man, you're vibing along with Jesus, and all of a sudden you just got wrecked somehow. It happens. He gives the prodigal story. He gives, go read your Bible about dudes that are going after them and get wrecked. And then they find a new place in God. Right? Maybe this is your season to let him shake earth again. Let him shake your earth up a little bit. And that you, your fruit will remain and be lasting so that, why remain lasting fruit? So that whenever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Why? He says, because you're in rhythm with me. We're together. Like, your heart's not selfish. You're asking for that for the very right reason. According to my word and the circumstance, I placed you in that circumstance and no one else in that circumstance. And there you are. Why wouldn't I want to help you out there? And sometimes, this is my faith. When I've prayed for the sick and I know, like, God's going to do something. There's times I go, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. But you say to lay hands on the sick. And I've seen enough healing that I'm going to keep doing it, but I'm no way going to command you like a poodle through this hoop to do this because I don't know what your ultimate plan is. So since I don't know what your ultimate plan is, I'm still going to pray the highest, biggest thing I know how to play and put it in your hands. That's like prayer for me sometimes. You send me to the hospital. If you've ever prayed for you in the hospital, you say, yeah, I heard you say that. I heard you say that. He says, this is what I command you. I command you that you love and unselfishly seek, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. If we desire the Holy Spirit working and dwelling in us, this is going to come out of us. But I want to prophesy. I want to speak in tongues. I want to. Well, unfortunately, you got to get to know him and fall in love with him first so you don't mess it up. So you can be used the right way, at the right time, in the right place, right? Start honoring Jesus' command in these areas, and we'll start to see some mature growth in the body of Christ. John 15, 18 through 20 in the Message. If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you, I picked you to live on God's terms. Yep, I saw you right in the middle of your mess. Why in the world would you pick me? I was about to walk out a window, splat. That guy was no good to anybody, ruining society in every way possible. Why in the world would you care to rescue that guy? Because I'm going to get you to live on my terms. And you have to do it with other people around you. People, I'm not great with people. No, I'm going to pick you. I'm going to plant you with purpose and intention. And I'm going to chisel you so you start living according to my commands. And everyone's going to need to see it. All right, Lord, that's a lot of work ahead of you. You know, to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms. The world is going to hate you sometimes. Say sometimes. Ever felt that before? You come to Jesus and your old friends weren't as happy as you would hope they would be, you know. Remember that happens. When that happens, remember this. So when that happens, it's going to happen. At some point in time, if you have not known Jesus long, and today's the first day that you're like, I want to know him, I love that he wrecks us with, hey, it's going to be awesome, and I'm going to do amazing things in life, but you're going to have moments where people are not going to like you because of it. And he's straight up about it. You know, nobody who is over 50, no one. When I was 30, he said, hey, bro, when you hit about 50, things are going to change a little bit internally. It's called hormones. No, it's not just women thing. Trust me, I'm 50 plus now. Let me give you some of that. No one did that. So when I turned 50, it started being weird. I go, I wanted to go, hey, who, wow, no one told me this. I would have been prepped. You know, Jesus lays it out. He said, hey, you're going to follow me, and it's going to change your life, and I'm going to use you to change the world, and I'm going to change you so the world changes. But sometimes it's not going to be comfortable or friendly, right? When that happens. He says this, if they beat on me, they will certainly beat on you. If they did what I... If they did what I told them, they will do what you tell them. What? Some of them will come to know my words and my spirit because they're going to see it in you. He's going to send you somebody, and he's going to send you to somebody. Right? So some people are going to listen to you. Why? Because they're going to recognize me. They've been hating me their whole life, but I'm going to run into them one day, and they're going to be at a place they absolutely need me, and they're going to call out to me, and I'm going to send them you. So I am the church. Yeah. John 15, 21 through 25 in the message. They are going to do all these things to you. Now, this is not light reading, and it's just a side note. But if you ever want to read about some of the early church and the original apostles and how their lives ended, there's a book called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it's a huge book of how people gave their life for the gospel. And he's telling these guys specifically, he says, 11 of you at least are going to die for me. It's not soon, but it's coming. They did it to me. They're going to do it to you. Why? Because there's people in the world, when you're broken, you're confessing me, they're going to turn their lives over to me, and it's going to start a revolution, and the church is going to spread from Jerusalem all around the world. But it's going to cost you your life. That's what he's saying right there. They're going to do all these things to you because of the way they treated me, because they don't know the one who sent me. If I hadn't come, he's a little sassy here in my opinion. If I hadn't come and told them all these in plain language, it wouldn't be so bad. He's like, hey, it's on you, Ricky Bobby. You did it. Like, I told you, and now you're in trouble? Like, I told you. If I hadn't done and told them all this in plain language, it wouldn't be so bad. As it is, they have no excuse. No excuse. Hate me, hate my Father, it's all the same. Say 3 and 1. Hate me, hate my Father, it's all the same. If I hadn't done what I had done among them, works no one has ever done, then they wouldn't be to blame. But they saw the God signs and hated on anyway. I was a hater, judged anything I saw remotely on TV about God. I didn't know. Don't sell me nothing for $9.95, evangelist. Didn't hear the message, didn't hear what the man had to say, didn't know why he asked what he asked, but I already judged it. I hated it. Some of them I was right on, not maybe in the hating, but right on. And some of it, I was just a hater until Jesus, right? You see enough God signs in your life and you keep on hating, that's not on God. Hated anyways, both me and my Father. Interesting, he says. I feel like that's a side note. You know, Jesus talking to us and he goes, interesting. Point one, point this out. They have verified the truth of their own scriptures where it is written, they hated me for no good reason. Say, don't be hating for no good reason. Say, I will seek God intimately. John 15, 26 through 27 in the end. Doing so good with time, I can't even believe it. But when the helper, say Holy Spirit, he jumps right back in here. He's telling all this hard stuff to do. He didn't say, you know, hey, at some point in time, you're going to prophesy. At some point in time, you're going to speak in tongues. At some point in time, you're going to raise his hand. You're going to do all these miracle signs and wonders, and which was going to happen. He didn't tell him that part. He said, you're going to have to die, You're going to sacrifice. I'm going to prune some of y'all so you can bear fruit. And he said, and you're going to need the Holy Spirit to do that. Not to prophesy. Yes, you need him there. But he didn't tell him, hey, get prepped up because I'm going to power up your tools. He said, get prepped up because you have to live for me. But when the helper, the comforter, the advocate, someone who will go on my behalf, maybe when I need a good lawyer before God, the intercessor, someone who is constantly thinking about me and praying, the counselor, someone who will give me advice when I have no idea what to do, the strengthener when I feel weak, he's that, the standby. Obviously, I believe we need pastors, and I believe we need counselors. I happen to be both. But the church would be really in a healthier position if they went to the Holy Spirit and got tried to get all those needs met from God first, because he's there. Holy Spirit will help me lift a car if my baby's under it. Maybe I'll be praying. I would hope so. But I know the Holy Spirit definitely will be a helper. He definitely will be a comforter if you're really sad. So run into TikTok, run to the Holy Spirit. You need an advocate? Yeah, I need someone to really just plead my case because they're really mean to me at work. And I'm being underpaid and they're taking advantage of me and I'm so mad. You need an advocate. Someone who will talk to the bosses and see, show what needs to be happening without you opening your mouth. You need a lawyer from heaven, right? An intercessor. I wish someone knew my, if someone knew how bad my knee hurt, they'd be praying for me night and day. They'd feel so bad for Pastor. They would just be like sending me text, Pastor, I love you. How's your knee? Well, he's my intercessor. Hey, Father, here I am again. I did something dumb. You saw it. I'm injured from it. Very humbled, yes, Father. I'm very humbled. Could you? I appreciate it. I won't be fussy. I'll lay here and read. Yes. The counselor, the strengthener, the standby. When he comes, say the Holy Spirit. The helper whom I will send to you from the Father, say 3 in 1. The helper whom I will send you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. He, say the Holy Spirit. He will testify and bear witness about me. Makes sense because they're the 3 in 1. Right? But you will testify also. Say, I will tell people about God and what he's done for me. He says, you will do that. That's what you will do. And you will be my witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is equal part of this great triune, right? 3 in 1 is equal part. The Holy Spirit is meant to be in disciples. He's meant to be in disciples. Say, hey, I'm a disciple, right? The Holy Spirit in your life is a very important topic according to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's main purpose is show and tell Jesus to them. What's the main purpose of the Holy Spirit? To show and tell Jesus to them. What's the main purpose of the Holy Spirit? To show and tell Jesus to them. That's the main purpose. Them, all the people in your life. So have you asked about his Spirit in you recently? I was baptized in the Spirit at 19. Okay. Have you gone to him and say, Father, I feel like I need a fresh moment of your Spirit in my life again? Say, I'll ask him, maybe. Have you asked what God desires to do in you, with you, and through you? Or are you staying on your plan? He might be in the plan. He's been in many of my plans. But if we don't go to the advocate, the comforter, the helper, we're going to be really mad if the plan doesn't work out. Him in you, with you, and through you this year. What could change? What could change? If God's really in you, through you, and with you this year, what could change? Not just in your life, but in the people's lives around you. Like, that's why we're here. That's why we're the church. we're maturing and growing. Why? So we can be better, more like Jesus. But the point really isn't that. That's a great example of it. But the point is so the world could be reached to know him. Right? That's the whole purpose. And Jesus is saying, I'm trying to talk to you about the Holy Spirit I'm about to send, but I need good vessels to carry him in. You know, did I tell you about the steak last week, how to serve a steak? Yeah. You don't want to throw it at somebody. You don't want to blend it up in a blender and pour it in a plate. You want to take a good meal and serve it well. And we've got the best meal in the world. The only meal that will satisfy your soul. Right? This year. So, in the spirit of that, I'd like us to take communion together. I'd like us to remember we are back to being one with God again. But maybe you've never even made that exchange. Maybe you've never come to God at all. And Jesus has said in previous series, he's the only way maker. Like Jesus said it, and we have to decide, is Jesus a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? Because these are his words. And if you've never really heard those words for your life, that he can forgive you of anything. Anybody in here that's been forgiven from anything you thought, there's no way I can be forgiven from it? Raise your hand high, because someone needs to see those hands. Harold, you better put both hands up. Just there you go. Okay. Get yourself into a clean heart, seek God mode this year deeper, right? So we have wine and bread, and you guys, I don't know how we're going to get that if you come up or they're ushers. You can begin to come up if you want to as the song plays, and I'll keep talking and I'll pray. But you can get your stuff, and it's a great example, this bread and wine. It represents a sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. We sing songs about the blood because his blood was a sacrifice for sin. Pure blood, right? We talk about that. But I want it to be symbolized also for us, spirit and word. We're going to be a balanced church this year. Yeah, you're good. You can keep up as long as you want to, dude. I can talk. This is the year maybe we take the word of God in our lives and we dive into what we find him. And we seek the spirit of God in our life. And so let the bread represent what he's done for you and bore the sins of mankind and forgiven you. But also remind yourself this year, I'm a word person and I'm a spirit person. I'm going to live the word and I'm going to live the spirit. And I'm going to need a lot of help this year with that. Right? So if you need his spirit in you and you're up front this morning and you maybe never asked his Holy Spirit to just fill your life, I believe God can do it in a moment without me even being in the room. God doesn't need me to show up. And I believe he wants to show up in the church more and more this year in ways that shock us. And he's trying to make us stronger so we can contain that. We don't become a split church because the Holy Spirit did a great thing. We become a unified church because the Spirit did a great thing. So this morning, you take your elements. And if we don't have enough elements, it's fine. I love it. I love when we run out of communion cups. I love that. All right. Well, thank you, baby. The goodness, thank you. If you've ever needed to be reminded that he's forgiven you from everything you raised your hand from, and the guilt of it sits on your soul, I want you to live it. Give it to him this morning once again. Because he paid the price for that. He paid the price for that. He got you the greatest gift ever, and he doesn't want to return to him. He wants you to accept the gift he gave you. So if you needed that fresh reminder of forgiveness, it's here this morning. If you need the fresh reminder that his spirit is in you as helper, comfort, counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, everything I have need of, my advocate. If you need any of those things from God this morning in your lives, and if you're human, you need some of those things this morning in your life. Ask him for them this morning. He said, if you ask according to his word, he says, I'll act on that. And Jesus told us to ask, so God will do that. So this morning, Father, all the sins of forgiveness, Lord, we put them on your altar. We say thank you once again. And we're asking for a fresh breath of your spirit this morning in us, in me, in them, in new season, in your body. Go ahead and take the elements in Jesus' name. Thank you. Now, I'd like to challenge you. Just for a second. I close 15 minutes from now, usually. You're here usually another 15. Not always. Sometimes I'm out 11:30. You're right. Got to be honest in church. But most of the time I get us out. That's my late spot. I think of your butts. I think of your football teams. I think of your families. I think of dinners. I don't account for a lot of it, but I think of it. But I try to get us out by that time. So this is early. I'd like to put a couple of worship songs, at least one, that you might not have the words up there for. But I'd like to invite you to even come up front and stand next to somebody, but meet with God. Not me contriving a moment. Not me trying to manipulate a moment. I just want to give you a moment to meet with Him. So if you'd like to come forward and do that for a second, and then I'll close us out. If you have to leave, I say thank you for coming. It's been a wonder to have you. Please come next week. I'll do better. I pray that your time away this week and the things you do in this world, God never stops putting His finger on your heart. And you're welcome to leave and give Joe a high five. But if you can stay a minute, I'd like to invite you up.
May we see, remind our soul that your presence abounds.